This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Melissa Hammer. We'll also hear reports from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention from Don Wick and from Tyler Donaldson. Trade talk underway at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. We get more from Don Wick.
Josh Gacka with us, President of American Soybean Association. We're here at Trade Talk with the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. Josh, a very interesting time. Got a new administration coming in. We're hearing names coming through on the cabinet picks. It seems like even on a faster pace than maybe the first go-around with President Trump. What's your take? A lot of names have been surfaced on that ag secretary position.
Yeah, I know. The list gets pretty long. And, you know, sometimes you've seen when that happens, that list gets so big that all of a sudden somebody pops up that nobody's been talking about yet. So I think, you know, that ag secretary position, whenever that's announced, you know, hopefully it's, well, somebody that, you know, that we'll work with well. I had a good relationship with Secretary Perdue in the previous Trump administration. He's a good advocate for farmers. I guess we'll wait and see what that name is. But there's a lot of work to be done, whoever it is. And we're, you know, looking forward to whoever's in that position, working with the new administration, a new Congress on farm bill, trade, biofuels, you know, pesticide restrictions, the list of things that we're working on and partnering with other commodity organizations, that list never gets any shorter. So we'll see here over the next few weeks who it is. And in the meantime, you know, there's a lame duck session of Congress that's going to be kicking into gear here pretty soon. And still think there's time for a farm bill to get done. We've heard that from Chair Thompson on the House side, who will continue to be the chair. Of course, in the new Congress, there'll be a new chair of the Senate Ag Committee, Senator Bozeman from Arkansas. But in the meantime, trying to get some of those other things across the finish line here at the end of the year.
So in this lame duck, obviously the GOP is going to be in charge starting in 2025. They probably want to clear the slate for the new administration. Does that give some hope of some things getting done in the lame duck?
I think it's both a cause for some concern, but also an opportunity. The lame duck, you know, that's going to be some folks that we've worked closely with over the last couple years in the last Congress. Those folks are still going to be there, but you now have the other factor of the folks that are going to be in charge. So like Senator Bozeman, like we mentioned, he'll have the gavel here starting in January. So does that give him any more or less motivation to try and get something done now in a lame duck, or is it better to wait? And I think the concern we've expressed with waiting is there are going to be so many other things that Congress and the new administration are going to want to do first when they get there in January. There's all kinds of cabinet appointments across government. Any other type of legislation, you know, they're going to have confirmation hearings. So starting over, I don't think is a place we want to get to in January. I'm confident that the priorities that we've highlighted that I mentioned over the past couple of years, those aren't going to change in January of 2025. So we're not going to have to start from scratch. It's just continuing that education effort, working with new members, new staff to just, you know, let them know what the work that we have done, why it's important and why it's important to continue it.
Josh Gacka with us, President of American Soybean Association. From Trade Talk, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
A significant weather system is expected to trek across much of the Midwest event Sunday through Monday. Up to 2 inches of rain is expected, further reducing long-term moisture deficits. World Weather Incorporated says strong winds and unusually cold weather will occur next week, with snow possible in the northeastern production areas of the Midwest Tuesday through Wednesday.
Rain and shower activity through Monday afternoon should not have much of an impact on the remaining field work for the Northern Plains. World Weather Incorporated says rain and snow will increase Monday night into Wednesday. Strong winds and possibly blowing snow and possibly leading to blizzard-like conditions in the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota. While there is uncertainty about the strength and track of this storm system, World Weather says the potential for livestock stress and travel delays will increase after Monday.
Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Tyler Thomas says cooler temperatures are coming, but it will be gradual.
This trend of a really warm fall is probably going to continue here for the next week, more or less. Average temps for highs nowadays would probably be about 40 degrees here in the valley, looking to stay somewhere in the mid to upper 40s through the weekend, kind of cooling down once we get towards Tuesday, when highs might be a little closer to normal around that 40 mark. In the meantime, could see some rain in the northern valley come Saturday night into Sunday morning. Not looking at anything too significant, maybe a tenth or two-tenths of an inch, something like that. Could see some light snow chances up into the Devil's Lake region, but outside of the valley there.
A system coming up from the southern plains could bring some precipitation starting on Tuesday.
Bringing some wider spread precip. Right now looks like we're looking at somewhere around maybe a half inch to an inch of precip overall. There could be some snow mixed into that, but confidence is pretty low on where the system goes right now, and that'll kind of dictate where cold air gets pulled into, increasing or decreasing those snow chances. Right now, we're seeing the potential, at least, for something a little more impactful. Could be our first winter headlines of the season, I guess. I'm not going to commit to saying we're going to get 6 to 10 inches of snow by any means, but the potential exists for accumulating snow for sure. Like I said, going to depend on the track of the system here.
Following recent years of drought and historically low river levels, Soybean and Corn Advisor President Michael Cordonier says northern Brazil is seeing steady improvements to their water levels.
The northern rivers in Brazil are slowly improving, and they'll be much better here probably in the next 2 weeks because they're getting a lot of rain moving into northern Brazil. You know, in the barging operations that were suspended back in October, they said, well, we'll probably pick it up again sometime in November. And I think that will happen, you know, later on in November.
Not much change to South America's weather forecast. World Weather Incorporated says regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms will continue for northern Brazil, while central and southern Brazil and Paraguay will not be as wet. World Weather says there's enough soil moisture in place to keep crops developing favorably, but timely rains will be needed in the driest areas of southern Paraguay and southern Brazil. Crop stress is likely in Argentina before timely rains occur the last week of November. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. A Trump 2.0 presidency is expected to bring significant change to the ag industry. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
Former National Corn Growers Association CEO John Doggett, we just had an election here. Give us a quick little snapshot of where we're at right now and what we should be looking for heading into 2025.
You know, I think the last 5 or 6 elections we've had have been change elections, and we're unhappy, so we're going to throw all the old guys out and put in new guys. And we keep doing it. Certainly the Congress has changed a lot, and you know, we're really noticing that change.
Talk to me about John Thune. How's he for a nomination? How do you feel about that?
I am delighted that John Thune will be the majority leader of the United States Senate. I've known the senator back a long time ago when he was in the House, and he's a really good, decent man who works to get things done. And he's not long on rhetoric, he's more long on do. And I think that's really important for the industry, for all of us, for all of America, to have somebody in that position who is pragmatic, reasonable, and looks to find some sort of way to come to some agreement to solve some of the problems of the country. Back when I worked on Capitol Hill, worked for one of the most conservative Republican House members there were, and but he would be a moderate in today's Congress.
We've seen a big push towards greener energies, green fuels and such. How do you see that shaking out in Trump 2.0, and how will that affect the ag industry?
It isn't what it would have been 8 years ago, but he did tell the petroleum industry, basically, what you want, I'll give you. But we saw some comments today and yesterday from Exxon saying, you know, we're still committed to green fuels. We're still committed to biofuels. I think that's a good sign. But, you know, behind that, you have to have some policy initiative that helps that along. So I think we need to continue to push that. And, you know, American companies will use green energy if it's priced right. And I think we're getting to that point, certainly with ethanol and a number of other green fuels. We're getting to that point where, you know, we can compete against gasoline and we can have a lower greenhouse gas footprint.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
President-elect Trump has more aggressive tariffs proposed for this term. There's a lot of speculation of the impacts that this would inevitably have on agriculture. Baker Hostetler counsel Ron Baumgarten says it isn't a simple good or bad situation.
We're looking at 60% tariff on Chinese products across the board and also a 10 to 20% increase universally on trading partners. But the devil's in the details on that. It's not entirely certain as to what all the authorities are. There's not some type of blank check that you just come in and do a proclamation that increases tariffs right away. There are several laws existing right now in the books, like the Section 301, which would enable the president to take action. And there's this law called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, and it would allow the president to declare a national emergency and impose tariffs, which could happen. Again, there's a lot of talk on the campaign trail, but execution's another thing.
Baumgarten says agriculture is being set up well, with many leaders having agriculture advocacy backgrounds.
It's also important that listeners think about what will happen on the other side of the ledger. The administration last time was aggressive about ag, and it's the same thing here. Agriculture will have a friend in the White House, and with Senator Thune now the Senate Majority Leader, there's also a good voice in the Senate, which in some ways, I was thinking about this morning, that it might impact the trade policies in a way, because Thune is going to represent, he'll have that agricultural constituency and be able to bring that view to the table, so that they're very aware of that. And whoever is USDA Secretary as well, the same thing. I think they're going to understand the result of increasing tariffs and how to mitigate damages for farmers.
Rains moving across the Midwest, still improving soil moisture and some winter wheat quality. Commodity Weather Group forecaster Joe Wasnicki says the winter wheat, though, in the northern plains is already at dormancy.
All of Montana, all of North Dakota, maybe the northwestern quarter of South Dakota is dormant. And then after the next 2 weeks, we're going to have dormancy all the way down probably through Nebraska as well. So we're quickly approaching kind of that sort of situation there, with moisture deficits really only confined to areas in North Dakota and Montana at this point. So we've done the rain events over the last several weeks, and the upcoming rains have really done a number on improving the soil moisture situation here from the plains all the way over into the Midwest.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated Secretary Mark Anderson is based out of the panhandle of Oklahoma. The harvest run was quick for Anderson, but he's hoping for some moisture now that harvest is complete.
It seemed like it was across the board. If you got the rain, you had a pretty decent crop. If you didn't, if you could irrigate, you had a crop. But all in all, it was definitely a fast-paced, interesting year. One of the fastest falls for me that I've ever done. We had 40 days straight with no rain, so we got it out pretty quick. It takes moisture to grow a crop, but we've just got some here recently and across the area, which was very needed. So looks like if we can keep that up and get some moisture in the ground over the winter here, we should have a good crop for next year.
Anderson is ready for the next administration for the agriculture community.
Absolutely. Our H-2A issues, we continue to work on those. The new administration coming in, I'm optimistic and excited that we might be able to actually get something put in place to help correct some of these things and get that program back on track to where it's working for the farmers the way it needs to be.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon. December wheat in Minneapolis down 5.5 cents, 565.5. Chicago December wheat is down 12 cents at 529.25. Kansas City December wheat down 8.5 at 532.25. December corn down 7.5, 419. March corn's down 7 at 430.5. January soybeans are down 18.75 cents at 989. March soybeans down 17.75, $10.75. In Winnipeg, January canola is down $16.20 a metric ton, $632.90 Canadian. December live cattle down $1.12 at $182.87. February down $1 at $185.10. November feeder cattle $1.02 higher at $247.50. January down 52 cents at $243.12. December lean hogs down $1.77, $80.10. This is the Red River Farm Network.